It's a joy to be with you here at St. Andrew's this morning, and especially when a baptism and a confirmation and about 30 receptions are taking place. Advent is a season of preparation, and what a day to acknowledge our preparation for receiving the Christ child by growing this community of faith in such celebrative ways. My wife Mary and I thank you for your warm, generous hospitality offered to us on this beautiful day. It has been a number of years since we last visited with you, and during the interim time, you've been very busy changing the appearance and the functionality of your structures. You've basically rebuilt this entire sanctuary, adding on a narthex for welcoming and greeting people, providing a room for mothers and babies to go when some extra comforting is needed, a new sacristy for the altar guild to employ their special gifts to prepare for the liturgies, new flooring and new pews to provide clearer sound and to give a bit of comfort to all, simply creating a very superb atmosphere for this community of faith to joyfully sing praises to the Lord and to acknowledge His presence in your lives. You also have new flooring in the parish hall. You've done all this in a very different way from most congregations. You have accumulated no debt as you have done this. And what is even more unusual and noteworthy, you have paid off your mortgage during this time. I hope you know how special this all is in the course of a few years. I commend Father Lance and the vestry for such wonderful leadership. And I also commend you for your many outreach ministries that are offered to help meet the needs of people who are much less fortunate and who need to know that God loves them and wishes He cares for them. Obviously, your thrift shop is very important to the larger community. Many of you offer your time to receive, sort, categorize, welcome, and sell. The interactions with those who patronize the shop are as important as the merchandise being exchanged. Your gifts to the food pantry on a regular basis and the backpack program for the children in an elementary school contribute to easing the burden many people have with food shortages. And your Angel Tree ministry in this season for the children at Spring Hill Elementary gives families a special opportunity to gift their child or children with something that is most needed for them. Thank you for opening Colton Hall to many different community groups for their gatherings, a ministry which no one can truly measure in importance for recovering addicts, for scouting programs, and for others. And I'm aware that as a community, you support the Shelter for Women, the People Helping People program, and other regional ministries. Please continue to be such Christ-serving people, carrying out His ministry of love and new life. The lessons read this morning can only lift our hearts and our spirits with anticipation and joy. The prophet Isaiah offers a lyrical declaration of the divine intention to bring the exiled people of Israel back to the city of Jerusalem and to the temple, a metaphor for their redemption. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. In this anticipated new kingdom, the people of God will be blessed in the unsearchable riches of peace and justice and oneness with God. How interesting that this prophetic vision is expounded when the people of Israel are suffering their fate in a foreign land and among alien people and in the midst of pagan worship of godless idols. Suddenly, the prophet speaks of what only a prophet can, being enveloped by the intimate communication with God. Hearing God's word spoken clearly and emphatically, God's word that promises a new exodus for his people. God's word that promises a new life which rises from the suffering and death that the godless world can inflict upon us. God's word that promises a kingdom in which indeed peace and justice and love prevail. The wilderness and the dry land shall be made glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. This is the kingdom we, as the people of God, anticipate in our pilgrimage with God in this Advent season. But like those exiles of 8 centuries ago, we yet struggle with the pains and sorrows and the sufferings and the deaths in a world deeply scarred by wars and ongoing battles. In a world in which nations and individuals cannot seem to talk with one another and to hear one another. In a world where even in our own nation, peace and justice and love for one another are words and expressions, but very rare realities. But unlike those exiles of 8 centuries ago, we've been given more than just a vision of the new kingdom. We have been given the promised one who comes to carry out the ministry that is of God. The ministry in which every word and every deed lives out the realities of peace and of justice and of love for one another. God has promised that he will show us the way, and he's given himself as the incarnate Lord to be in the very midst of us today and tomorrow and always. God has established his kingdom through the gift to us of his Son, Jesus. The gospel lesson this morning proclaims all this, using many of the metaphors found in the vision of Isaiah. You recall that we are told that John the Baptizer is in prison, and he sends some of his disciples to question Jesus, a question on the lips and minds of many as Jesus carries out his ministry. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Jesus responds to John, not in terms of himself, not about his own person, not of his commission or authority, but by a simple, unadorned enumeration of some of the central elements of the prophetic vision of the coming day and the coming one, elements which are characteristic of his own ministry. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. The word back to John the Baptist is unmistakably clear. You will look for no other, because prophetic hope and expectation in that promised day is even now being fulfilled. What God has promised is being carried out in the life and ministry and death of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and is now also being carried out in the lives of those who receive Him, God incarnate, in their hearts, using His empowering grace in newly transformed lives to be bearers of peace and of justice and of love for one another. We still live in hope and with anticipation and expectation for the great day of redemption. But because we are inheritors of the kingdom of God through the presence of God incarnate with us and within us, we live in the midst of all human limitations, scourges, and follies with the awareness that in the throes of death, we are in life. We are in new life. We are in life where nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In this transformed and new life, our calling is to make clear the peace and the justice and the love for one another that Jesus made real in His ministry. In the words of the psalm today, happy are those whose hope is in the Lord their God, the God who keeps His promise forever.